This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from somewhere in Nitro, West Virginia. Where the heck am I? what's up, everybody? I can't even remember the rest of the intro. Yeah, Bipcot, all that stuff. Yeah, we're here. It's been forever since I did one of these shows. This is Jeremy, and I am joined today by Randy England. What's up, Randy?
Hey, that's me. I'm here back in Missouri. I don't move around. I'm always here. But you're somewhere in West Virginia.
Yes.
The only part of Virginia that remained faithful to the nation during the Civil War.
Yes. Those.
Right?
I think so. I think that's how it worked.
Proud place to be.
Yeah, this is my first time here. I mean, I passed through it briefly on one of my earlier trips, like, you know, jumping from Ohio to Pennsylvania in one of those, you know, when you're in the southernmost part and you have to pass through West Virginia pretty much. But like so many other things since I've been out here on the road, I have new experiences. I can actually say I've stayed here in this state for a somewhat extended period of time. So
are you in the, is that in the western part of the state?
Yeah. Yeah. Good old Nitro.
You're nowhere near the ocean anymore.
No, I'm not. I have, I've stayed largely away from the oceans except the last leg of my journey before I came down to go to, AnarCon 2018 that, I was just at. Was that last weekend? I think it was last weekend. Time is really so confusing when you're out here on the road. I have no concept of it whatsoever. I used to say all the time that I had no concept of time, but that really wasn't true because I had so much OCD that I had to stay. There's certain things I just had to know all the time and had to constantly check. So I did know, but now I really don't. I barely look at my phone for the time. Unless I have a pressing appointment or something, which isn't all that often when I'm out moving around.
Now I haven't seen you. I don't think I've even talked with you except maybe written something on the internet since June, which was the Midwest Liberty Fest.
Yes.
And, you know, we did a couple shows there, but I don't think we've done anything since then. Have you done any of the Freedom Fiends shows?
I believe I did. Time? I think I did two, or it might have got cut into three. I'm not sure. With Michael after I got back from the fest, and that the last one was sometime in the end of June, July. So yeah, it's been well over a month at this point.
And you've had big stuff happening yourself in this time.
Yes.
At least from the amount that I have been able to follow your wanderings. I'd like to hear a little more about that, actually.
Yeah, I should probably
particularly how your entanglement with the government came out.
Oh, well, yes, my year and a half long journey pretty much with the county of Nassau finally kind of sort of came to an end since the last time I was on the show. And I think Michael and I talked about it the last time I was on. I'm sure I did because he kept making me talk about it pretty much any time I did a show with him. But, you know, I was still at the point where I was still resisting and still unwilling to take their deal and willing to push the thing to trial. And the DA kept finding ways to extend it and push it further back and still not. They finally started coming down on their deals after offering the same exact deal like three times in a row. For the first part of the journey, they finally started coming down with the their demands. And the more and more I thought about it, I was still going to go. And it was up until we were all set for trial. Finally, I made sure I got myself back to Long Island because the other thing I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I talked with Michael about the fact that I was on the road at that point and I still am now. Here we are 3 months later. I'm still living out on the road. And so I made sure I got myself back to Long Island, got everything set up, got a sitter for a murder dog. And then the trial was postponed for another 2 weeks. So I had to go. I left again and had to come back and do it all over again. That time I actually had to get a hotel room and rent a car for the trial. Because the last time I had been in Long Island, not only had my court saga extended yet again, but I also had a boot placed on my vehicle. while I was inside showering at Planet Fitness. And while the car was running and Murder Dog was in the back of it because I had the air conditioning on for her, which is something I had done at that very same Planet Fitness because that was my home location. And I used that almost exclusively for the first 2 months, 2 months that I was out on the road because I was staying close to Long Island for the most part, except for the trip to the aforementioned Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest back in June. And, I've done this plenty of times. On a hot morning, I leave the car running with the AC on, and then I lock it manually with my spare key, and I go inside. I'm inside for less than 15 minutes. I come out, there's no problem, and we leave. Well, this particular time, there was a problem, and there's a boot on my car. It was raining, and I was pretty annoyed.
What was the problem, having the keys in the car running or something?
Apparently something I didn't know, because I don't really pay attention to local politics around there. I haven't for a long time, ever since I finally decided to give up on the whole political scene. And they apparently they had just started using those license plate readers in the county. And they were trying to nail what they consider scoff laws for red light camera tickets, which.
Oh, and you had one.
I have multiple. I have been one of the advocates for years of people ignoring these things completely, because I found out through, checking through the whole thing with this and seeing that they, for whatever it's worth, that they had actually been ruled unconstitutional in a number of places around the country. And the basis was always the same. Part of it was the fact that you can't face your accuser. That's supposed to be one of your rights as a citizen, I guess, or in the legal system, you're supposed to be able to face your accuser. And
you can't have a trial. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, because you can't fit your accuser's a camera. And then also the fact that there's no way of proving that you're the driver, yada, 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 even if it's your vehicle.
Well, the driver problem, technically, the camera's not your accuser. The accuser, there has to be a human being that would that comes in and has to explain how the equipment works and how it's tested and if it's reliable and all. It's the same sort of thing as if you blow into a, for a DWI.
No,
you
have
a machine.
I understand
testifying
that.
Against you.
Yeah, but you're in that situation. You have a cop present with you while you're doing it.
Well, they would have to have the human being responsible for the machine there at a trial, which is probably why they can't take these things to trial, because the person who probably installed it by now is off installing one in Washington State or something like that.
Or doesn't even work.
That's why most cities, especially smaller cities, I mean, huge ones, I'm sure, like New York has full-time people, but smaller cities, you get down to cities that are, 50,000 people or something, and their radar guns on their cars, those are certified like once a year by some guy who tours around the country. He's in a different town every week, and by the time somebody needs to have a trial for speeding, they're nowhere to be had. And if a person wanted to fight one, I don't see how the city could win. Cities that have that situation could possibly win, because they can't bring the human being in that would make the result of the radar gun admissible.
Well,
it's
pretty
tough.
Well, that's actually something similar with the red light cameras, because
I think you're right. Yes,
it's also because of that, where the line goes to who's supposed to be responsible, who's supposed to be the one that would have to stand there and basically defend the machine. They don't actually work for the government. They're subcontractors. They don't actually have the jurisdiction to be able to accuse you of these crimes. And that's what it's come down to in a lot of these cases. There was one in Florida, I remember, years back. I believe there's a couple of places in Texas where they've been removed and on the basis of unconstitutionality. And it was all these different type of arguments together that were the reason in all these cases that I found. So you know, after trying to fight it constitutionally years ago here, there, and well, there, I'm not even there anymore, there in Nassau County, I finally decided to give up. And I looked into all this. So once I realized that the people didn't have the jurisdiction, it was actually like, cause these it's usually one company. It's either in Arizona or I think might be New Mexico, where all of these things are based out of, like, that's the company that owns all these things all over the country. And they don't actually have the jurisdiction, but they send you the threatening letters claiming that they're going to, you know, if you don't pay the ticket to them, you're going to, you know, they're going to, whatchamacallit, they can suspend your license, they can dock your pay, or they can do a whole bunch of other things. But they don't actually have the so-called authority to do that. So for years, I was one of those advocates that just told people, just ignore these things. Like, I used them for kindling for years. And, you know,
now,
never had an issue.
What about the boot? How'd you get the boot off the car?
Well, yeah, we're getting to that. So anyways, yeah, that's why I had these things and I ignored them. And it finally caught up with me because they now started using the license plate readers. And from what I found out, it's not even the cops that are using them. They're hiring more contractors to drive around with these license plate readers and just scan people's cars all day long in private lots, because I was parked in a private lot when this happened. So anyway, I came out to my car, find the note on, you know, find the piece of paper taped to my window explaining what I have to do. So I call up the number and I, you know, they're like, this is for red light camera tickets. And according to our records, you have 5 of them. And between the fines and now the surcharges and the penalties, you know, your total is something ridiculous of like over $1,200. And we can't give you the code to unlock the boot until you give us the full payment. And even if you decide you want to fight these somehow, some way, basically, is what they told me, you have to pay us first and then try to go to recoup your money, which is like a near impossibility in Nassau County. So they're basically telling you, pay us or you're stuck. So I obviously was not about to pay them over $1,200, especially because I had just given them over $1,100 in order to clean up my license that I had that had been suspended 3 times. Apparently, still to this day, I still have not figured out how they suspend a license multiple times. Like, how does that work?
Well, they don't call it that. You don't have to have a good license to have it suspended. They're just layering suspension upon revocation, and then when you want to get rid of it, you find out that you have this nightmare problem in more than one place. It's just a mess. I used to help people get their licenses unsuspended and get them back, but I would be in just one jurisdiction. I might say, okay, well, I can get you reinstated in the state of Missouri, but you have the same problem in Wisconsin and Colorado, and I can't do anything for you in those states. You're going to have to get somebody to clean this up everywhere you have a problem. And I every time I've seen a situation, I thought, well, I can do this here. But I said, if I was this poor guy, I'd be overwhelmed.
Yeah. It could be a lot. I mean, luckily all my issues were in one particular place, but it's insane. Yeah. Yeah, it's insane how they do these things. So, well, anyway, so since I had just given them $1,100 to do that, to fix the license, which I needed to do so I could get my South Dakota license, which is something else I finally did since the last time I was on the show. I'm pretty sure it was after that. Yeah, I drove all the way to South Dakota and officially became a South Dakota resident, you know, one step closer to not being in New York at all anymore. And I, you know, since I had just given them that money, I'd not going to do that. So I hung up and proceeded to try to figure out how I was going to go about things. And luckily they left enough room that I could get the tire iron in there and get the wheel off. So I jacked up my car and took the wheel off with the boot on it, put my spare on and drove away it was in the rain too. It was really lovely. That's how I had to spend my morning after I, after I had just taken a shower. I had to change a tire in the rain, which was just spectacular.
What happened to the boot?
Well, I put, just I put, leave it. No, no, I put the tire in the boot. I put the tire with the boot because it was the boot was still on, because I wasn't about to give them the money, so they wouldn't give me the code, so the boot was still attached to my wheel, to my tire, to my wheel and my tire. So I threw that in the back with Murder Dog and proceeded to go try to figure out what to do. I ended up getting in touch with a couple of friends who are kind of, you know, one of whom works with cars. The other one is pretty, like, she's amazingly, like, MacGyver-y and can come up with, like, all these crazy ideas. And, like, she's also, like, a whiz with, like, finding things on YouTube and, like instantaneously. I'm like, okay, here, this is what we need. This is what we got to do. So I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to enlist the help of you two. And we ended up figuring out that there was a YouTube video where some guy had the exact same boot that had put on my car, and he showed how he figured out how to disassemble this thing and get it off and get it unlocked without having the code. So I spent half the day trying to acquire
without destroying it.
Yeah, exactly. So I spent half the day trying to acquire the right tools. And then when we finally acquired the right tools, unfortunately, we found out that one of the screws we needed to undo, unscrew was, or the bolts rather, was stripped. And we then spent, my one friend and I spent like 4 hours trying every possible method we could to extract this thing. And nothing would work because we didn't have enough clearance to get a drill in there. And finally, at the end of the night, after like hours and hours and hours of this, we just gave up. And both of us, without really speaking to each other, just kind of knew what we had to do. And we both pulled our knives out at the same time and stabbed the tire and just cut the tire apart. And once we did that, the boot came off pretty nicely. Because,
sacrifice the tire.
I did a cost-benefit analysis and, you know, said that it was $140 for a new tire, $1,200 of the county. I think I know which way I want to go. So, and I returned the boot to them. They refused to give me a receipt because it wasn't unlocked. And, you know, I tried to claim ignorance and say, hey, I unlocked, you gave me the code to unlock it. It must have locked itself back when it was bouncing around the back of my car on the way here. What do you want me to do? But they didn't want to go for that. So I'm sure they still think I owe them. They still claim I owe them money, but they let me leave. You know, I handed the boot in, so they can't claim I destroyed it or, you know, stole it or anything like that.
Now, this is all on Long Island.
Yes.
Do you have to go back there yet?
Well, yeah, because that was the thing. I had to go back for court. So I decided to stay. I've been permanently on the road since then, except for having to go back for court. So I just decided to stay out of Nassau County because I'm pretty sure from what it seems, the only way they could do that to me again is inside Nassau County. Because it's, you know, that I'm not going to get booted anywhere else because they're not using a license plate reader to scan for people who specifically have Nassau County red light tickets anywhere else other than Nassau County. So as long as I stay out of there, I'm fine. So that's why I said the last time I went back, I parked my car at a friend's house in the next county and took, you know, backed it into his driveway and took the front plate off just to be safe. And then just rented a car while I was there. And I did it I had everything set for 3 days because I thought that's how long the trial was supposed to be. But getting back to that part of the story, up until the day before the second time the trial was supposed to happen, I was ready to go through with it. And I even had an hour-long sit down with my lawyer where he tried to, but not tried to, convince me to take the final deal that the DA had offered because they had come way down on their amount of community service. They had agreed to seal the conviction, which to me doesn't actually matter. I can get to that later, but and then drop the amount of anger management they wanted me to do. And because the plea was going to be dropped down all the way to a violation, like the maximum fine they could, you know, hit me with was dropped way down too. And I walked out of his office giving him most of his last payment, which meant, you know, I was ready to proceed with trial, still thinking I was going to do that. And then I just spent the rest of the day thinking and talking to people, including my dad. And after going over everything and then dealing with the real possibility of what a loss would actually mean, because the stipulations of the probation that I was most likely to receive had I lost and been convicted, was a minimum of 18 months of being stuck in Nassau County, not even in the state of New York. I was going to be tied to Nassau County, random drug tests, open to searches.
Oh, at all. You were told that the best you could hope for would be probation and 18 months there in the county.
Yeah. If I lost, that was my best case scenario, was 18 months.
And, you know, typically you don't count on a best case scenario when you go to a jury trial and lose. In that case, I'd have been really fearful of an actual prison term.
Oh, well, absolutely. Well, because I knew that.
Is that a real chance?
Well, okay. According to my lawyer, because I had no record whatsoever, even if they really, they were trying, the judge would have to really go out of his way to try to make an example of me to be like, no, I'm, making sure I'm sentencing you to the 2 full years, because that was the maximum I could face, I was facing. Because it was 2 misdemeanors, 1, class A misdemeanor, so 1 year each. But my lawyer told me the whole time there was no, realistic possibility of that happening. Probation, because I have no record. I'm an annoyance, but I've been a good boy as far as they've concerned, as far as they're concerned. So, yeah. But
even the best case scenario looked bad to you.
The best case scenario is actually worse than jail, because I would be forced, it's one thing to be locked in a place where I can't leave for 2 years or however long until I'm good, getting off for good behavior or whatever.
Which requires no discipline.
Exactly. Forcing myself to stay in this particular county that I've grown to hate so much and being open to the, random searches and the random drug testing and the fact that I would also be forced to get a job and get a place and rent a place somewhere in the county again, which is, part of the reason I'm living out of my Honda Element is so I don't have to have a, so I didn't have to get another place in that county again, because I did not want to spend any more money in New York than I absolutely had to, because I'm just so sick of that horrible place. And, with all, they were basically setting me up to violate the terms of my probation. Because getting a job in that county is still not very easy for me. With all of this hanging over my head, I didn't sleep that night, and I just thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and kept thinking about it.
Now, was the trial set for the next morning?
Yeah, jury selection would have most likely happened selection. That afternoon, because I was scheduled to be in court at 2 p.m. So the most likely scenario was that jury selection happened that day, if it didn't get pushed back the following day.
So did you went to court that morning or met with your lawyer that morning?
I called my lawyer that morning at a couple hours beforehand, and I'm like, yeah, I think I've reconsidered. Let's go with the deal.
Take that deal.
Yeah.
So when was the plea?
The plea that was afternoon. That afternoon when we went into 2 o'clock, the judge asked if we were ready for trial. The DA said yes. My lawyer said he had something to say and asked to approach. And yeah, set everything in motion. The DA, except obviously, because it was their deal.
We've got a deal. Yeah.
Yep. So in the end, I'm pretty sure they started off somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 hours of community service. They got all the way down to 35.
That's doable.
Yeah, it is. And I luckily know a couple of animal rescues, or at least know people who are connected to animal rescues in the area, that one of whom I've already talked to, and they told me that they could totally get me in there. And, I could bang it out in a matter of a week or two.
Did you get sentenced on that day too?
Yes.
Went ahead with that. So that's done. You just have a certain period of time to fulfill the conditions.
Yes.
That they've given you, and you're working on that right now, I guess.
Well, I'm not right now. Yeah, I'm still not able to go back to Nassau County because I'm not willing to rent another car again. I'm waiting for my new South Dakota plates to come in. I probably have another week and a half to 2 weeks before I hear about those.
Let's not give that one out.
Yeah, there.
Right.
Oh, they'll have to know, because South Dakota is going to send them back my plates. Most likely. I'm assuming. I mean, when I got my South Dakota license, they took my New York license on the spot and gave me a brand, gave me a physical, South Dakota license. Very efficient in that state, I must say. Although they're apparently backlog right now, but when they actually get things going, they're super efficient, because I was in and out of the DMV. It was the least amount of time I ever spent in a DMV. I literally went in.
You did an investigation to see what would be the best state that you could be a citizen, a resident of.
It wasn't necessarily the best state. It's the fact that I regularly listen to former fiend Shane Radliff's podcast, the Vanu podcast, And
right,
he for the longest time on there has talked about this one website, yourbestaddress.com, that allows you to get a legal street address from them to use as a mailing address. And then they, which unfortunately I didn't know beforehand until the aforementioned Anarchon last weekend, when I saw Fiend, I don't know, tech guy, I guess, tech guy Supreme, Derek Slopey, who actually is part of a company, is part of a company that does the same exact thing. I wish I had known that ahead of time. But these folks also offer other services, like helping you get your registration and your driver's license.
This is probably legal, isn't it? Oh, it's completely legal.
And it seems to be most likely with South Dakota because they have such a low tax base, because it's not a very populated state, number one, and they also have very low taxes pretty much across the board. Like, there's no state income tax. I think the sales tax is only 4%. Everything else is really, really low. So I think they're actually hurting for tax revenue. So they let, you know, so-called private companies do these things in order to generate some revenue for the state, which,
I remember when, and it's been a long time ago, when I was in law school, and they were talking about residence requirements and that, and I thought it was interesting that your residence, it's not where you are or even where you spend the most time, although you may have to spend some minimal amount of time in a certain state or city or whatever the place is. But once you acquire a residence, all you have to do is just say, this is my residence, and it remains your residence until you acquire a new residence and claim that as your new residence.
Yeah.
It's sort of like you're establishing a fiction, and nobody really believes, you know, that you actually live there. But legally, it seemed like it could work. But I didn't know that there were places that would sort of capitalize on that idea.
Yeah.
Certain states may have more stringent requirements before they would accept you as a resident.
Most do, I shouldn't say most. A number of them that I know about that I've investigated for one reason or another, I know do. You know, usually it's like, you know, sometimes 3 months, sometimes six, you have to spend at least 6 months of the year there. I think New York's like that. I think New York might be like that, if I remember correctly. But yeah.
Now they must have some taxes that you have to pay.
Well, no, right? not really, except for, you know, you have to pay the taxes on the registration and getting your license, although even those are insanely low. Because
you mean the car registration?
Yeah.
Well, it's not just 20 or 30 bucks.
No. It's a little more. I'm still waiting to get the bill on that. It hasn't actually gone through yet. That's the last thing I'm waiting on. But
well, even if it's just some hundreds of dollars, it sounds like a nice way for a state to get some extra tax revenue, particularly for some guy that isn't even going to wear out their roads by living there.
Exactly. So, yeah, for the most part, the only taxes besides that, because I think the registration is every 2 years you have to renew it. But the beauty part about, you know, because how you were describing the whole thing with the residency before, that's exactly how it works there. And they have the most minimum requirement I've seen out of any state, which is you go in there and all you have to do is first you have to acquire a legal street mailing address, which companies like Your Best Address allow you to do. And once you have that, you have to come to the state and you have to spend one night, just one night, in either a hotel or a campground, any place that you can get a receipt that states that you were for the night. So I drove all the way out to Sioux Falls, first time I'd ever driven that far west, and went to one of the campsites that's recommended by the company that I'm using, and they, you know, paid my money, got my receipt right as soon as I walked in, I paid for the night, got the receipt right then. I could have turned around and walked to the DMV, I guess, right away, or I guess technically I would have had to wait till the next day anyway because of the date on it. But anyway, yeah. So the next morning, I went to the, I believe they call them the driver examination something stations. Those are their DMVs essentially, I guess, because I mean I'm sure they're called different things all over the place. I'm used to the term DMV in New York, but yeah, I walked into there, went to the counter, explained my situation. The woman gave me two forms and a number. I went to one of the counters to start filling out the form. I literally got two lines in before my number was called. I went up to the counter. I was in and out of that place in less than 15 minutes, and it cost me $28 for a license and a residency that is now good for 5 years. And in five years, I have to come back and spend one more night to continue the process for the next.
Oh, really?
Years. Yes. That is the requirement. As far as I can tell, we've tried to look at this from every angle, and this does seem to be the case. That's the only requirement for you to maintain your South Dakota residency is to return once every five years.
That raises an interesting question. South Dakota does not recognize the principle that a person remains a resident of one place until they establish a new residency in another. One would think that at the end of the 5 years, if you didn't renew, you would become a stateless person. Hmm. Is that possible?
I hadn't thought about that, but I guess it is. I mean, yeah, because
you got a lot of time to think about it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. And this isn't some area of the law that I really know anything about. But that's sort of interesting that you could lose your residency in one state without establishing it in another. And at that point, what state do you belong to?
Yeah, that does pose an
issue. I mean, you're always going to be subject to the laws of any place that where you presently are, but that doesn't mean that a person who's driving through Illinois is going to be having to pay Illinois, you know, anything more than gas taxes if they buy something there.
Well, yeah.
So that's an interesting question. I wonder what happens to you if you don't pay the man again in 5 years. Like, I mean, I've lived in Missouri since I was 18 years old. And never had, when I came here, I mean, I'm sure I paid something to get my Missouri driver's license, but I've never had to renew any kind of residency. That's interesting. Okay, maybe it's just for the licenses or something rather than the residency itself.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I just, you know, I only know because when I, you know, when I paid the money and then the woman took my picture and then asked me to check if all the information was right and then handed me the physical card. She said, congratulations, here's your license. You're now a South Dakota resident. I was like, well, I like how works.
Did you get a better picture on your license than your last government photo?
Well, see, I actually happen to like my last government photo.
I know.
I'm proud of that. I don't care how many people want to make fun of me for it. I think it's wonderful. Yes, I have the biggest smile I've ever had in a DMV photo. And I was quite happy to officially not be attached to New York in that way anymore.
Yes.
Well, it's a really big grin on my face. Actually, it's actually funny that you mentioned the other one, because that's actually the grin I wanted to use in the last government photo, but I got yelled at the police officer taking that photo, who kept telling me not to smile. And that's why I ended up with the face that I did, because every time I tried to smile, he wouldn't take the picture and he would yell at me. So
so finally, after somebody yells at you for a while, you get a different look on your face.
Yeah, finally. So
no, I agree. It's at least it's classic.
Well, yeah, and especially thanks to one of the Fiend fan. I guess she is a Fiend fan. I don't know how else Michael knows her. Emily, the one who drew the caricature of that, which I to this day still use as my profile picture. And actually, I might be going to see her, because I'm only apparently a couple of miles away from her where I am right now. And she told me if I head in her direction to let her know so I could stop by, which would be really exciting, because, you know.
Are you thinking of at some point moving to that part of the country once you finish up your
Well, I mean, I still had my plans on Indiana. As far as
you're halfway there, than halfway there. You're almost to Ohio, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm down down just south of the corners of Pennsylvania. So, you know, southeastern Ohio, southwestern Pennsylvania. So yeah, I'm pretty close to
Ohio. Northern Indiana? Is
Well, that's where I know the most people. I do know a few people in southern Indiana, but I know more on the north side. And
of course, that's practically in Michigan, right?
Yeah, parts of northern Indiana, absolutely. Well, I mean, they border each other, so yes, it's right there.
You'd have a really short drive to the Midwest Liberty Fest.
That would, you know, it's all part of my plan, Randy.
Yeah.
But no, that was the last destination that I had settled on with the, you know, moving the whole family there. That's unfortunately been put on hold at the current moment because Jen's dad got really sick. Which, of course, for me is a happy day because I've discussed on this program at length how I can't stand the man. But for her, obviously, it's not a very good thing. And now she doesn't want to leave she makes sure that he's, you know, he's all right. And that's an indefinite amount of time now. So I'm going to be out on the road even longer. But Indiana is still definitely in it had been in the running for quite a while. And then, you know, again, for as far as this actually means anything, I did see recently the most recent Freedom Rankings came out. The economic and civil liberty freedom rankings type deals.
Mm-hmm.
And Indiana is actually number 3. It was ranked this year. So that's actually...
Is that right?
Yeah. Because from what I can tell, I mean, of course, anywhere that I'm going to move, I'm going to try to examine the laws that I'm going to have to deal with as much as possible, especially after... I mean, pretty much anything's an improvement from New York, unless I, you know, went all the way to California. But I still, you know, try to look into it and see. And from what I can figure out, the only thing the only really bad laws they... Well, I mean, as far as laws go, the really, really bad ones are they have some really horrible drug laws where they've banned kratom completely. And, you know, which is just, I think they're the only state, there may be one other, but I think they're the only one who actually banned it, you know, for no reason, just to be, you know, because the religious right in the state got a hold of the government and was just like, no, we have to ban this stuff. You know, the children think of the children.
You mean most of them have the decency to wait for the federal government to ban something before they do?
It seems that way, at least. and they had also banned CBD oil, although that was reversed either late last year or early this year, I believe. So, but other than that, they have really good gun laws. I mean, I don't think they have constitutional carry, I guess, that New Hampshire has now. I don't think they have that, but they do have, you know, everything else is pretty lax with that. You know, as far as the permits go, if you're going to have to deal with permits, which you do have to deal with most states, they have the shall issue permits, which is the best you can get in that situation. You know,
The constitutional carry is, you know, it's kind of problematic. We have that in Missouri, but if you just rely on that, then you don't have a permit to allow you to carry in the other states.
Exactly.
Most of which do not have constitutional carry. So people that are serious about that, they go and get their permit anyway. And it's a shall issue state. So anyone can get the concealed carry permit as long as you don't, you know, have the criminal record or something like that to stop you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you once wrote a bad check somewhere, or did a felony driving while suspended, of course you wouldn't be allowed to own a firearm. That would be ridiculous to let a person like that, you know.
I know, right?
Do it.
Imagine what they would do.
It's just insane.
Especially that bad
check
writer.
You would think if they were going to prohibit you from owning a firearm, it would be for some reason that had some connection with somebody's safety, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's just nuts that they have the blanket prohibitions for felonies. There's so many things that you can't do at all in this country if you have a felony. The most egregious thing is that most, 30% of all the jobs in the country require you to have a government license, and you mostly cannot get these government licenses if you have a felony on your record.
Yep.
And there's even some misdemeanors that keep you from getting it. I knew a guy I went to law school with He went through all 3 years of law school, got to the very end, and they refused to let him sit for the bar. And the reason they wouldn't let him take the bar exam and be admitted to the bar was because his life in general was just not good. And it was, his life was sort of like, there were no crimes, nothing like that to keep him out. But the guy had multiple divorces. He'd had lawsuits. He'd had bankruptcies. I don't know. And just a guy whose whole life has been a mess. And they just said, you are a mess. You're a walking disaster. And we're not going to give you a license.
Wow.
I mean, I get that the guy was a walking disaster. And if you knew about him, maybe you wouldn't want him for your lawyer either. But then maybe that should have been your choice and not the government's choice.
Well, yeah. But
I thought it was, just amazing that the government could literally forbid you to be a lawyer or a barber or
you
whatever.
Degenerate.
They thought that you weren't good enough. And not good enough at lawyering, but just a good enough human being. You were some sort of it's just an amazing for the government to be getting in and imposing a test like that seems rather tyrannical, just totalitarian. Words are there? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's next for you then?
Well, like I said, I'm going to be on the road a little longer than I planned. You know, initially I was guessing this was going to be a 2 month experiment maybe. And then obviously the court stuff got pushed back even further. And now with Jen and not ready to leave with the kids just yet, and she's even floated the possibility, because she's been mad at me lately, she may not leave at all, which of course means if she decides not to leave at all, or at least for not a extended period of time, then I'm just going to continue to stay on the road, because it just doesn't make sense for me to get another place, especially anywhere close to where I planned on ending up, because that'll just put me even further away from the kids. And then if and when they're finally ready to come out, if that place ends up not being a good fit for them, then I'm gonna have to move again. And it just like seems like such a waste of money when I could just continue to stay on the road and, you know, just keep cycling back to see them on a regular basis, because I definitely don't want to be in Nassau County anymore. I'd rather not be in New York at all, except to see the kids. So,
Are you finished with the government then, the criminal justice system, or?
Well, I just have to complete the community service and my 1 day.
And then report that to the court.
Yeah, I
have and to, then I, it's that's over.
Yeah,
that's
my
over.
Lawyer said just, you know, if I just hand him the paperwork, he'll take care of it. So that's all I have to do. But again, I'm waiting for my new plates, and then I'm going to set stuff up with the one animal rescue and try to hopefully bang that out all in like a week or two. And also, well,
that would be a relief.
Yeah. And then also, because unfortunately the anger management thing probably angers me more, ironically, angers me more than anything else, because
you could just have them, if the folks that you're with at the animal shelter, you know, are conducive, you could just have them set up a cot for you, and you could knock out 35 hours in less than a day and a half.
Well, I inquired about, well, not necessarily working all the way through, but I did inquire about the possibility of me, like, you know, parking my car there overnight and therefore being there for the morning shift, because the one place only has like two shifts a day, like for 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the evening. And I'm like, I'll do both days if you let me hang out at, you know, sleep there at night so I could be there first thing in the morning for the morning shift. You know, that'd be great. But I found out, you know, they don't even, much less have a place for me to put a cot. They don't even have a parking lot for me to park in. So, yeah, I tried. Well, I thought that, you know, I was like, yeah, I could totally knock this out in a week. I'll just stay here and I'll work, you know, I'll work both shifts every day until I'm done. And, you know, that'll be fine. But yeah, that's not going to work out. But yeah, once I get the plate issue settled, I'm going to set all that up. Hopefully get the anger management thing. But the anger management thing, it just, there's only one company that they let you use, obviously, which, you know, means it's connected to the county somehow, some way, that they're getting a kickback from this.
Somebody's brother-in-law.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Or something like that. Well, no, it's a major company. So it might be one of the higher up politicians or bureaucrats, family members or something. But more likely than not, it seems like a quasi-government.
Somebody bigger's brother-in-law, yeah. Then.
And they...
there's always a connection.
There's definitely a connection. And like they charge like an astronomical rate. It's like $165 for a 1-day session. You know, that's what kept me from taking the deal the whole time, especially when I found out I had to pay, because originally they wanted me to do like a week of this stuff. And I'm like, people are insane. You want me to, like, I would have to pay like over $1,000 just to be
sitting. It's like it's designed to suck every nickel out of your wallet.
It absolutely
and kick you out when there's nothing left for them to eat.
Yeah. I got to pay for the community service too. It's insane. But yeah, so I just have to go back for that. And hopefully I'll be able to knock that out, like I said, in a matter of 2 weeks. Oh, that was the other thing with the anger management. Not only do they charge a heck of a lot of money and you're the only game in town as far as the county is concerned, they only offer this thing twice a month. So it's not like I could pick and choose when I want to go. Like I only have two options.
Yes, and at the most convenient times too.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully I'll be able to work that out, because I have till the end of the year to finish all that up. But my plan, you know, to get back to your original question, aside from that, I'm just going to keep traveling for a while. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, today's the 30th. Or what is it? We're at the end of August.
Yeah. Saturdays.
Yeah. And Saturday's, it's still warm.
Yes.
When does this become serious?
Well, I don't know.
First of November.
Yeah, I think
something like that.
Yeah, but it's because
it's all wrapped up.
I could just travel with the weather, so I don't have to worry. You know, because as a lot of people ask me, like, what are you going to do come winter? It's like, I'll just drive farther south. You know, I've been pretty lucky. I haven't had to deal with too much heat. Like when I first got to West Virginia a couple days ago, was the first time I had dealt with pretty intense heat in a while, because all of a sudden they got hit. They were in the middle of a heat wave where it was like 95 degrees when I rolled into town. And for the most part, Murder Dog and I, I've only had to deal with that like a handful of times in the 3 months we've been out here. There was like a week in Long Island where it was pretty brutal, maybe a week and a half. And then other than that, we've had pretty good weather it's rained pretty much wherever we went, but it hasn't been too hot.
Well, have you ever been to Key West?
I never have. And I've always wanted to go. I keep saying I want to make a trip down all the way down to Florida, because I do have friends down there who have asked me to come down and see them and stuff like that. I'm just so the whole problem, like, I'd love to just be out driving all over the country, because I've learned since I've been on the road that I now know people in pretty much every state. And yep. It's people that either like Louisiana, I think, was the only one I couldn't think of for a while. And then somebody reminded me that I actually do know somebody there. I'm like, maybe I do know somebody in every state. So I'd love to keep driving, but I don't want to get too far away from the kids, because, you know,
right. If you drive to California, that means you have to drive all the way.
Well,
back.
Yeah, I have people out in California too who keep asking me to come out there, but I already figured out the trip to California would probably be a minimum of 3 weeks for me, because I would need at least that long to make it out there, it back, and stop off and see people on the way back too. So probably
you'd have to 4 stop. Weeks. You'd have to stop and stay with me when you were in Missouri.
Well, see, there you go. Well, that would depend if I took the northern route or the southern route back.
This northern, there's only one good way through Missouri, and it's right through the middle. So,
no, I meant from California.
Oh, for you, yes. Yeah. I was thinking northern or southern Missouri. This is one of those states where if you wanted to go from one side of the state to the other, through the only way through is through the middle.
Yeah.
Because there's no other good, there's no interstate or any other place except when you're going to east to west, it's I-70 or it's nothing. But you're, where I-70, I'm sure it goes on through Colorado and probably somewhere near where you are now.
I don't know if I'm sure I saw I-70 somewhere. I haven't got too far south. Like, this is as far south. Well, no, that's not true. I was a little further south when I was in Anaconda, Virginia. But yeah, I haven't been any further south than this. I'm sure I crossed paths with it at some point. I up until this trip, I do I-80 most of the time, because, you know, that's the one that goes all the way across the country. And
oh yeah, but goes, that's the northern
Nebraska,
route, doesn't it?
Yeah, cuts right. through everything.
That's right.
So, you know, that's how I got through. That's how I ended up in Iowa for the first time. I pretty much drove on 80 through the entire thing.
Yep. You would end up in Iowa. That's true. But, you know, I mean, you can, when you're cutting across the country, you can take off, you know, there's way north, way south. I mean, you go any way you want. Of course, if you're going to California, you'd want to go out one way and come back another.
Well, yeah, that would make the most sense. Go out
to see the stuff, you know.
Go the northern route on the way back, the southern route on the way back, you know, on the way out, southern route on the way back, rather. So, yeah, it would definitely be, probably, now that I'm thinking about it, probably a month or more, and that's just, that's a little too long to be away from the kids, you know, as it is lately. I've been only seeing them like every week or two, because since it's not safe for me in Nassau County, Jen has agreed to bring them out so we could go like on camping trips and stuff. Because, well, there's no really good places to camp on Long Island anyway. So we're actually trying to hopefully going to do that next weekend and do like a 3 or even 4 night camping trip. So that should be fun.
Do you think they have your picture on the wall at the tire booting headquarters there?
Oh, I'm sure.
Or maybe the picture of your license plate on the wall. You know, it's in the computer.
Yeah, of course. It's fine. Again, that's why I won't go back there until I have my South Dakota plates. Because then, yeah.
Well, fortunately, they won't chase you, and over red light tickets, they're probably not allowed to enter you in the universal system. Well, you get a speeding ticket in Missouri and don't take care of it, you'll get flagged in every other, what they call a compact state, which is most of them.
I think it's 48. I think 48 of them now are in that compact.
Yeah. And you'll lose your license or not necessarily lose your license, but you'll get whatever, you know, punishment there is for that wherever you are. But I don't think that these infractions,
they're not tied to your license. They're tied to your registration. So they can't.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which is why, you know, as I was saying earlier, that's the reason I did spend the $1,100 to get the license fixed, because I wanted to be able to have a clean license somewhere. You know, which goes back to the other earlier conversation when you were positing about, you know, what happens if I just don't pay after 5 years and then do I have a residency? I could see, you know, the one thing that would be a bad move in that regard would be, well, then I don't have a license, then I don't have a legitimate license anymore.
And that's true. You're going to have to keep it going just for that purpose alone.
Yeah, because in order to stay on the road, as Ben Stone always used to talk about, you know, if you're going to do that, keep all your stuff clean. You know, don't draw attention.
I was just trying to think of a way. Say, you know, a lot of places have personal property taxes on your car, say, and that sort of thing. And it would be nice to be in some sort of legal status where you didn't owe anybody anywhere income tax or property tax. That would be practically heaven on earth, you know.
Although
there's no way that could happen.
Well,
impossible.
But it does seem that South Dakota offers the ability to have most of that, because they don't have state income tax. You don't have to live there, so you don't have to pay property tax there. And if you're somebody like me who lives out of your vehicle, then you don't have to pay property tax at all. Well, you have, you know, for the registration, whatever it is, you pay the tax on that every 2 years or whatever it is. But that's it. And then, it does, you know, again, because you have to deal with the taxes in most, in any state you go to, and what their, whatever their silly rules are, you know, it does have the advantages of like the low sales taxes and stuff like that. If I do need to purchase big items, it actually makes sense to buy them there, you know? So yeah, you can't avoid all of them, but it does seem like South Dakota offers the ability to avoid most of them if you're going to stay mobile like I'm planning to. So,
yeah. Well, now that's something I was hoping to ask you about, you know, the idea of staying mobile, and is the term vanarchy or vanarchist come into common use yet?
I'm trying to make it there, man. I use the hashtag all the time. Vanarchy, van life. We're trying to push it out there.
Well, have you found the idea here? And of course, you know, you and I are both good friends of Shane Radliff.
Yes.
Who now he's in Austin, Texas.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, he is, he's his podcast. What is the Vanu podcast? You know, I mean, that's kind of his baby, and it's sort of it's an agorist point of view, right?
It's agorism before agorism, but yes.
Yeah. But it's along the same lines. The whole idea being unhook from the state and live apart from them as much as humanly possible, if I understand it correctly.
Yes.
How has you being mobile facilitated that for you? And I'm assuming that anyone who is, who considers themselves a libertarian or anarchist, from a libertarian anarchist, I mean, not a narco-communist or something, anyone in that position would certainly want to extricate themselves from involvement with the state. I mean, when you walk in to the government office, it's a court or the DMV, you know, it's like, I want to be here as short a time as possible. I wish I didn't have to be here at all. Right.
Of course.
And how have you been able to affect any of that by being loose, shall we say?
Well, I mean, it's largely, other than having to deal with the stuff that I already had, you know, that I already had waiting for me that I had to get out of the way. It's overall, it's just been very freeing because I don't have to deal with that day-to-day stuff, and I don't have to, you know, like I said, the extent of my dealings outside of my court stuff, which has, you know, been ongoing anyway, was less than 15 minutes in a DMV in South Dakota. And now I don't have to talk to those people for 5 years if I don't want to, you know, like, and up until I came to West Virginia, I hadn't even seen a lot of cops anywhere. Like once I got away from New York, there was pretty much everywhere I went, I barely saw, if I saw them at all. Even on the highways and stuff, just never saw them anywhere. It was so beautiful. So just being out and being away from the area that I had been stuck in for so long, it's been so, like, I just feel so much more free.
You really have a lot more cops in New York?
Oh, there's in Nassau County, it's insane. You know, they cram like a million people into that tiny little county, and they have, you know, the county police, there's a ton of them. And then there's also a bunch of the towns that have their own police departments. And they're everywhere. You'd never go. I don't think I can recall a day driving in New York where I didn't see at least a handful of them. You know, they're everywhere. But like on my way back from South Dakota, I drove through a good portion of the state of Minnesota. I think I saw one cop the entire time.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. If you think about it, you have Nassau County, which, like you said, has a million people. They probably have the cops for a million people. And yet in my county, maybe the same size as Nassau County, but we have 50,000 people, and that's all the cops we have. Yep. There might be four cop cars, five cop cars on duty in the whole county at a given moment.
Yeah.
And it would be surprising if you went out for a drive that you'd see one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, driving through a county, maybe, but like I drove through a whole bunch of counties. I just never saw them anywhere. It was beautiful. I mean, it was great. I wasn't complaining. It was so nice. It was kind of the same thing in Wisconsin. I think I saw like one or two cops the entire time I was in there too. But then I came into West Virginia. The state police are everywhere around here. It's crazy. I mean,
the state police.
Yeah. They're all up and down they like hang out in and out of the construction zones. They're just like on either side, just constantly. Like, I use Waze while I drive, and just every 2 seconds I hear police reported ahead. Police reported ahead. Police reported ahead.
Who's one of your applications?
Is Waze, driving
Waze, app.
For directions and stuff like that. But it alerts you to things like that. So.
Well, it's good to know where they are.
Of course it is, but it's just
there. In case you needed one.
I've been through from New York all the way out to South Dakota and then back through the north side and then up north all the way to Maine and back down again and then all the way down to Virginia and now up to West Virginia. And aside from New York, this is the most cops I've seen anywhere. It's just, I mean, I know supposedly that, you know, the heroin epidemic is supposed to be pretty bad here in West Virginia. I recently learned that apparently they have a really big problem with people using those credit card skimmers at the gas stations here. So maybe that has something to do with it, but they're just everywhere. So now I don't feel as free. I mean, I'm fine. I'm at my buddy's place. You know, no cops have actually bothered me, but you know, I know they're there, but up until now, I was feeling super free everywhere else.
They're zeroing in on our signal right now.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I think I'm only a couple hundred yards from one of the police departments anyway.
I haven't been to West Virginia for a long time. I didn't know it had come made such a near approach to Somalia or whatever. Well, actually, Somalia is somewhat stateless, isn't it? And that doesn't seem to be a problem there if they have lots and lots of state cops.
Yeah, that's definitely not a problem here. They're all about the state, I guess. So, but yeah, like I said, other than that, I tell people when the people ask me, I you know, because I've run into like a number of problems since I've been on the road, beyond the whole booting incident. You know, I had Murder Dog, ended up breaking one of her teeth and getting a fever, which somehow managed to be unrelated. You know, when Indiana somewhere and, had to fight a vet to rush her to, I broke my windshield, while I was driving 80 something miles an hour on a parkway on an interstate in Minnesota. My windshield cracked twice right in my field of vision.
How did you do that?
Well,
a rock?
No, it was me. I was having issues with my phone all day, which was really bad because I had a brand new phone with me that I actually picked up in South Dakota that I had ordered and got delivered to the Your Best Address home office. And while I was in South Dakota, I stopped by to pick it up and I just never bothered to finish switching everything over. So I was still using the old phone. It was giving me a lot of problems using internet as I was driving, which I needed because I was trying to contact people in different cities and trying to coordinate where I was going and who I was going to meet up with on the road to save time. And after like an hour of this and then driving in a direction in Minnesota that I would not have gone had I not been planning on meeting a specific person, when I was finally able to get internet again, I found out that the person had to cancel at the last minute. I was kind of mad. So I went to go throw the phone at the dashboard, but it skipped and shot up and hit the windshield.
No.
I'm still not sure how this happened because, like I said, it hit the dashboard first and it had one of those otter boxes on it, so it was padded. It still managed to crack the windshield in two places. I have no idea how.
That was sort of a bad coincidence there. You know what? You should have taken that anger management course.
Yeah, I know, right? had I taken it before the trip, I might have been a little better.
What cost more, the windshield or the course?
Oh, the course, because the windshield was free.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting. Like, I've had these problems, but I've also had like this almost these serendipitous solutions that have popped up almost immediately that I don't think would have happened to me on Long Island, and not just because it's Long Island, but because my attitude is completely different out here. Like, am I still an angry individual? Yes. I've said the whole to anybody who's ever known me, I've always been an angry guy. You know, my family used The Angry Young Man by Billy Joel as my theme song starting by like the age of 8. You know, so like, That's followed me around everywhere. But my anger subsides a lot more quickly since I've been away from New York, and I've just felt like the lessening of the tyrannical clutches of government being all around me at all times, like it was there, you know, because back there, things like that would have happened. I would have freaked out. I would have been like, even though I would have been mad at myself, I would have been yelling and screaming and hooting and hollering or whatever. I got angry for like a minute or two, and then immediately was like, all right, you need to figure out what to do. You have to find a solution. Okay, what are we going to do? Finding a solution would have taken me a lot longer, because as I've also talked about on the show plenty of times, you know, one thing I'm really good at is complaining, because I mean, heck, I've won awards for it. But I don't, you know, I still complain, because again, that's just me, but it happens a lot less because I just feel so much happier in general and just so much more at ease that solutions come to me a lot more quickly. And I've also just happened to keep being in the right place at the right time. It's like really crazy. Like we broke the windshield. We're in the middle of Minnesota. I've never been to Minnesota before. I was like an hour out of hour outside of Minneapolis. Break the windshield, have to pull over right away because both cracks are directly in my field of vision.
Wow.
First, I go to the internet and go to look for a glass place close by. Closest one appears to be up in St. Paul, which is another hour plus away. I'm like, well, that's not going to work. And then I'm like, oh, genius. You should probably call your insurance company. So I call Geico. I had totally forgotten. I have full glass coverage. So they find a place that's the next town over from where I am, even though I'm in the middle of nowhere, Minnesota. There just happens to be a Safelite Auto in the next town over, and they can get an appointment for me the next day, which, you know, I was hoping it was later in the day. So obviously I didn't expect much to happen that day, but they were able to get me an appointment the next day, and it was done free of charge because of the glass coverage. And all I had to do was I spent a night in a campsite, which also happened to be in the same town, one town over. So it ended up just working out perfectly. What are the chances of ending up right next to, you know, in a state like that where everything's a lot more spread out? What are the chances? I don't know. You know, when Murder Dog got sick, I was at a friend's place in Indiana, and one of the most amazing veterinary offices I've ever had the pleasure of being connected with in any way, shape, or form just happened to be like within walking distance, you know, less than a mile. Like if I had to, I would have picked up Murder Dog and carried her to the vet's office. You know, they were that close, just happened to be down the block from my friend's house. You know, like what are the chances? I don't know. But I just keep rolling with stuff like this that, you know, just wouldn't have happened. At the very beginning of our journey out to South Dakota, my car, something went wrong with the one of the sensors in the car, ended up going, causing the entire thing to start shutting down, and it wouldn't go above 55 miles an hour. And, where I was aiming to get that night to park to sleep, when I woke up in the morning and started searching the internet, it turned out I just happened to be like 6 miles away from a Honda dealership. The next closest one was like 100 miles away. So like, again, what are the chances? I don't know, but like these things wouldn't have happened to me in New York, but they keep seeming to happen out here, and it's been awesome. So yeah, it's definitely a much more freeing experience.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're catching a break from time to time. You know, of course, you know, something needs to go wrong first. But on the other hand, so many things, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, your attitude that, well, if something hadn't gone wrong, I couldn't possibly have had these other things go so right. And, you know, that's kind of an argument about why, you know, bad things are not so bad, you know, you know, that if there weren't the bad things that happened, or if people didn't need help, then no one would ever need to help anybody else. You would never have to try, you know. It's kind of interesting the way that it worked out, and that's exactly what's happened with you, you know, so many times.
Yeah, well, because without all the bad stuff, you don't if everything's just groovy all the time, then you don't really appreciate it. You know, it's definitely...
No, you wouldn't. It's nothing but living on mountaintops, maybe, would get boring.
Exactly. So, yeah, like I said, it's really just been a complete, shift in mindset for me that has just kind of naturally happened. And it's funny, too, because there's a friend of mine that I've now made who found me originally through. Actually, I didn't even realize he had been following my stuff on the Seeds of Liberty for a while, I guess. But he found out that I was moving into my vehicle originally, and he finally reached out to me and told me that, you know, he had been doing this for about 4.5 years now, and he actually lives out of the back. I think you know him from the press, Chris Grayson.
Chris?
Yes.
Well, Chris is my friend now too.
Yes, Chris. Yeah. So, you know, and
I really enjoyed. He was at the Midwest Liberty Fest.
Yes, he was. And
you had been telling me about Chris and the fact that he had been living out of his van or car for, what was it, 4.5 years or something?
Yeah, it's going on 5 years now.
I didn't know anyone who had been at that. And that's not just an RV. That's just out of a smaller vehicle.
Oh, wait, he's a smaller vehicle than mine. He has a Nissan Xterra. So he has less space than I do.
And I thought, well, if I get to meet this guy, I said, he's going to be a really, really different guy. And then I met him, and he was just totally regular guy. You know what I mean? I mean, just, I thought, anyone who's been in a car for 4 years is going to be just buggy. like being in a solitary confinement or something. But it wasn't true at all. He was the most normal, nice, great guy. I was just amazed by him. Really, really a delightful to be around.
He's awesome.
And very much so. Yeah, Chris, if you're out there,
yeah,
I hope you're having good weather and all. Yeah,
I don't remember where he is. I think he was headed north the last time I talked to him. We crossed.
Well, he should be because it's hot.
Yeah. Well, we crossed paths again briefly in southern Michigan. A few weeks back, I guess. I don't remember. On my way back from, because I went to go see Lou during my journey out to South Dakota. On the way back, I stopped at Lou's place up in his cabin up on Lake Superior. And when I left Lou's place, I headed down to southern Michigan, and I ended up crossing paths with Chris again. But the one thing Chris had told me since we first connected was, you know, he'd been following me for a while. He knew I was angry, but he was convinced that my anger had a lot more to do with my like where I was. And it wasn't just me. Like, it wasn't just me all the time. And that once I got out of that place, I would start to realize that, you know, I would start to realize that, and my anger would dissipate a little bit. And I would run into a lot of these like serendipitous situations. And I kept like brushing them off and, you know, be, oh yeah, 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 okay. You know, whatever, man, you know, you're getting a little hippy dippy for me here type of thing. And but sure enough, I had to tell him a couple of weeks ago. I was like, man, you're right, it's crazy because these things just keep happening. And like I said, it's not a matter of just like blind luck or whatever. I mean, some of it definitely has to do with luck, but it's just more so my attitude about things, where I'm able to regain my composure more quickly and actually actively seek out a solution rather than sitting there and complaining about it and just being miserable because the weight of the misery of everything else of where I was.
Well, yeah, for everything you said, and I mean, I have trouble with my temper. I mean, you know yourself and everything.
Oh, sure.
But you had a bad year.
Yeah, that I did.
You had a bad year. There were so many times when I would look and see, you know, what was happening, and I was just thinking, oh my gosh. I said, I don't know how he's keeping his head screwed on as it is. If I had all this happening to me right now and things that were happening, you know, there's nothing you could do about them at that point. And you know, I mean, it's one thing to think back and say, well, I could have done something better back at this time, but you didn't have that option. You know, you were in the thick of it. And, I admire you that you held it together, and now you're nearly, it's about over.
Yeah.
And you always want to do the best you can, but I'm just happy as I could be for you that you got through the end of that thing, because that had to have been just very tough. Very tough. I'm sure all of the people that, you know, have gotten to know you felt that way, you know, when you were in the middle of it, and you know, there's things that no one could really do. I mean, anybody could say it and something encouraging or something, but how far does that go, you know?
Yeah.
When you have a real problem. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
go off.
And, you know.
Yeah, it's I did what I had to do, you know. I was going to have to survive one way
or another.
And, you know, like I said, I was definitely pushed to the brink quite a few times. Sometimes when you were saying before, like, I don't know how you managed to hold it together. Like, my first thought was, well, there was probably copious amounts of happy medicine involved in order to keep me sane. But yeah, I just, you know, what else was I gonna do? I mean, I stayed angry about it. I complained about it, but I had to keep pushing forward anyway, because my whole goal was to just find some way to get through all of it just so I could get the heck out of there with my kids. And that's still my goal, you know. That's, as I was saying earlier, that part of it's been delayed a little bit right now, but at least I'm mostly out. So I'm halfway there.
Now
I just have to get them out, and hopefully sooner rather than later, because, you know, eventually I'm sure the state of New York is going to start wondering why we haven't bothered to register the kids for school. I forget what that age is. It used to be like 6 years. Now I think it's eight. They wait till they're eight before they start harassing you. So I gotta get
you them. Mean they have a list that they
sure
keep track of you from birth and then look for you?
Well, you know, I'm sure they don't even have to look for me for birth. You know, they'll just scan everybody.
I'm sure they allow homeschooling
in New York,
right?
They allow it,
no,
but they make you jump through a whole bunch of hoops, which are just insane. And part of one of the many reasons I wanted to be the heck out of there, especially once I had kids,
that, because they don't it, the hoop is not Jeremy shaped.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you know, that actually goes back to the other, you know, the earlier conversation about Indiana and why Indiana, because a lot of people always ask me that, why Indiana is so boring, why of all places would you want to go there? It's like, well, you know, aside from the newest freedom rankings where they came in number third, like overall, you know, one of the big sells for me was their homeschooling laws, like there, where they're pretty much like, oh, you want to take care of you want to do the work with your kids, all right, see you later. Have fun. Yeah. Good luck with that.
That's the same way in Missouri.
Yeah, no follow-ups, no tests.
It's outrageous that the state thinks that they have the right to, you know, over children's education. That's just horrible. I mean, what are you wanting to do? You know, just make good Nazis?
Well, I think so.
I suppose.
I think that might be the plan. So,
I saw the picture yesterday. Someone had posted something online. They were upset because they had a picture of the White House and the U.S. flag was not at half mast for John McCain.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was a scandal.
The horror.
You know, that's what I cannot stand, you know, stand Donald Trump for 1 second more. And then he doesn't drop the flag for John McCain. And I'm going, is that the stop clock being right twice a day, I guess? Or was it just stupidity and laziness? You know, like,
yeah.
Oh, well, I'd have put it down if I'd have thought about it, but I had to go pay off a woman who was talking too much or something, you know.
Yeah, I must have missed that, but that's funny. But yeah, who knows? Well, either way, whether it was malice or incompetence, it's still pretty funny. Because it could be construed that way, that Trump just tried to stick it to McCain one more time at the end.
Well, yeah. And these days, you know, they dropped that flag to half mast, you know, for nothing. I mean,
didn't they drop it for Whitney Houston? I mean, come on.
Yeah. You know, it used to be you had to at least be a government employee, you know, to have the flag at half mast for you. And now they've included it to, you know, any politically correct demise. And I don't know. I have no idea what the criteria are. It seems like I drive around all the time. It's really, really bad. We got rid of our governor here, Eric Greitens. I don't know if anybody heard about him, but he got in a little woman trouble himself. And he started dropping the flag for just anything. I mean, you couldn't, if you went out on any given day, you wouldn't heard of anybody you ever heard of dying, and yet there's flags at half mast just all over. Maybe it's because I live in the capital of Missouri, where everybody has to obey that, you know, or at least a lot of the places do. And And you never even know what it's for. Some you know, state rep farmer died somewhere. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't have a flag to lower to half mast, so it doesn't really involve me directly.
Yeah, I don't. I don't even have my BIPCOT flag.
You
can
do whatever you want. Don't have a what?
I was agreeing with you. I'm like, I don't have a flag either. And then I thought about it. I'm like, I don't even have my BIPCOT flag with me. I'm actually kind of sad about that. I'm going to have to go try to dig that out of my storage unit the next time I go back there. It's the only flag I really care about.
Well, if you put it in the window, maybe you'll draw the attention of the police.
Well, I don't want it for that. I want it for photo ops, you know. I figure since I'm out driving around, I know a number of other Fiend fans have BIPCOTed different areas while they were out on vacation and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm out all the time. I should be BIPCOTting everything.
Yes, putting those stickers of the BIPCOT license on toilet seats, you know, so that the government can't use them.
Exactly. Oh, man.
I'm homesteading this in the name of a BIPCOT, no government license. I think that's, you know, I think by the time you know, the effort that goes into a, you know, using a restroom is, that's sort of like mixing one's labor with the land sufficiently to honor it with a BIPCOT, no government license.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds have to good. Think on that a little more, but you know, come up with a better theoretical basis for that. Hmm. Well, how are we doing for our time here?
All right. Well, yeah. I guess looking at the time, I guess we should get wrapping this thing up. But this was a lot of fun, Randy. I'm glad Michael told me to reach out to you of all the other possible fiends. He said I should reach out to you to do show, and I'm sure glad he did that because it's been a while since we talked. I always enjoy talking to you, but this has been a lot of fun.
Well, that's probably why he said to give me a call, because I don't think I was on one for the whole month of July, and I was forgetting how to operate the software. So gave me a holler. Well, I'm back in the saddle again. Jeremy, hey, it's been great. I'm so happy for you to be done with most of this garbage, get you back in here to the land of the living. And
yes,
let's do this again.
Yes, we definitely will. We definitely will. And all right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the Freedom Fiends. And yeah, we'll catch you next time. For more of us, go to freedomfiends.com.
Barbs. Goodbye. Yeah.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com. The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Hey, I saw your t-shirt from across the room. That's pretty cool.
Thanks. I looked all over for t-shirts with designs and sayings that define my unique taste, and I finally found it.
Who makes them?
Wormshirts.com.
Wormshirts.com?
Yeah, Wormshirts.com.
That's weird. Why'd they call it Wormshirts.com?
Probably because Wormshirts.com is easy to remember. Worm, like the critter that crawls on the ground, and shirts, like what they are, t-shirts.
Wormshirts.com. Cool. Do they make them for women?
Yeah, they have men's, women's, and children's styles, a bunch of colors, and all sizes, and they're quality cotton shirts.
I'll look up Wormshirts.com right now on my phone and check it out. Wow, they have lots of designs. I've never seen any shirts like these.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Hey, let's get out of here. We'll go over to my place and I'll order some shirts on Wormshirts.com. Then when they arrive, I'll try them on for you.
Worms!
That's Wormshirts.com.